The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 29th of June, 2020. On the podcast today, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about i3 Energy, advanced oncotherapy, Myriad Advertising. We also mentioned Bidstack and Gfinity because they're in the same kind of space, tech and gaming as Myriad. Plus, as always, I have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see top 10 versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. We'll see a bunch of other, I shouldn't say bunch, it's American, isn't it? A lot of other content there. Check it out. There's something on non-standard finance. There's something on Phoenix Copper. There's interviews. There's videos. So check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk. And also our COVID-19 index. You can see that there. It's how many companies is that there? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So it's 22 companies there. The biggest faller there today is Avacta at 116.5, down 8%. Our biggest riser is Gfinity, up 9.72% to 1.975. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Are you tired of missing news about stock market companies you follow? The Vox Markets app helps investors stay ahead by making sure you never miss an important update. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Greenbean, CEO of Brand Communications. You're Al.
Greenbean, okay. Well, I've been called lots of things, but Greenbean's... No, actually, you called me Greenbean last week, didn't you, Just? So,
there we go. The week before, because, you know, you come on, you're quite bullish, that's green. The green, you know, markets are green when they're going up, or blue, but mainly green, or red when they're going down. And so, you know, you're a long investing or a shorter. So,
very true. You know, yes, and also with the lockdown, we've had to live green, haven't we? The bean implies that I've been growing my own vegetables too, which in fact I do, but that's not another story altogether.
Anyway, so what stocks are you looking at today, Al? I mean, what's the first one off the rank?
Got some tomato blondes on the go too. Anyway, that's precisely.
Do you grow your own veg? Do you?
Yes, we do. It's kind of a family thing, but we do enjoy it, and it's just nice to get your own stuff out of the ground sometimes and eat it, you know, knowing where it's come from. And you know, the only sort of thing it might have been tarnished with is one of the dogs cocking a leg on the plants.
But do you taste the difference? Is there any taste difference?
Yes, I think so. But also, there's a very good farm shop around the corner from us where we do a lot of our shopping, and the vegetables there are just fantastic. I mean, you just go and it's just a joy to shop there. And it just comes out of the ground and goes straight into the farm shop.
What are you growing? What are you doing? Do you say beans, tomatoes? What are you doing?
Tomatoes, runner beans, radishes as well, and just a selection of veg, really. But the thing is, obviously, it takes up a bit of space to do it, but you can do a lot of them in pots and troughs. But it's just something that's fun to do, and the weather conditions have been so good that you can literally stick seeds into the ground and they come up sort of within 5 days as opposed to the normal 2 weeks.
If when only you get a stocks were like that at the moment, yeah.
Put
a bit of money in the ground. But I tell you what's worth doing is, and I castigate the wife because she goes for the cheap version sometimes of tomatoes, like cherry tomatoes. And I said, no, it's worth spending the extra 20 pence for on the vine ones. It just tastes a lot nicer. You can just pop them in your mouth and you don't eat it with anything else. And they just taste gorgeous. They just spend a bit more and the smell of them is gorgeous. The taste of them is lovely. Just worth, Avicuza, buy cheap, buy twice, that kind of stuff. And she knows, you know, sometimes you just got to spend a little bit more quality. I wouldn't mind, let's not go to vegetables, but I wouldn't mind growing a few veggies. I've never done it, but there we go.
Yeah. It's great fun, but also if you've got a good local farm shop near you, support it. Honestly, the quality is, it's night and day. It really is. It's so good.
Cool. Right, marvellous. Right, Al, stocks, what's the first one?
Okay, so a very interesting development with i3 Energy, which we've spoken about on many occasions. i3 Energy, of course, is the company that hitherto had developments in the North Sea, the Serenity field and the Liberator field, and of course, big excitement with Serenity. The company is still holding with their original projection of 197 million barrels of oil in that particular field. Liberator, of course, they drilled. There was disappointment. They found traces of oil, but the Liberator field at the moment is awaiting some senior funding that has to take place by September 30th of this year. And the company has a target to achieve 50 million funding, agree a farm out deal, and execute an acquisition where the acquisition generates 2,500 barrels of oil per day, and also additional acquisitions or ramp ups where it then produces 5,000 barrels of oil per day by April of next year, which is a fairly tall order. But what i3 have done in one fell swoop, they seem to have captured something which has that potential. The shares are currently suspended. They've acquired Toscana Energy, which has a portfolio of light oil and gas fields in the west of Canada. The CEO, Majid Shafiq, referred to them as low decline, long life, light oil and gas fields. And it's basically acquired them for a package deal of $60 million Canadian dollars. And on completion of the deal, it'll issue 4.39 million new shares. The fields currently produce just over 1,000 barrels of oil per day, worth a field netback of 3.26 million sterling or 5.5 million Canadian sterling. The company said it's their first follow-on transaction. It's going to be transformational for i3 because it adds low cost per barrel. It's got going to cost them current on the current infrastructure or the current structure 18 pounds sterling to get each barrel out of the ground, and it's a low decline production asset with significant organic growth potential. So in terms of the funding for Liberator, it's likely to be able to provide that going forward. i3 still has 2.4 million of cash in the bank. But this deal also gives them a dual listing on the TSX exchange in Canada, which, of course, is well known for bullish oil, bullish energy and commodity investors. And indeed, there's a background to this deal which I think could be interesting for the company going forward in regard to this this senior debt facility that's required. What they've done in this deal, Toscana had a senior and junior debt facility of just under 25 million. And what they've $28 million Canadian. They've acquired 24.8 million of that for just $3 million and 3.2 million, they're owing 3.2 million for just $0.4 million, with 50% upfront and 50% at the year end. So they've executed a great deal. Toscana was in default with its lenders. And what this means is, I think the rationale behind this deal, obviously they've acquired a great asset, but also going forward, the lenders now have some upside with exposure to the Serenity field and the Liberator field. And coming out of this, they may well be the partners going forward for this new senior debt funding facility.
I'm always, that confused me a bit then.
Okay. Can I help clarify?
Yeah. So
yeah.
So when do you go to the farm shop?
Okay.
Okay. Do you know what? Sometimes I've got a simple brain. I like to keep it simple. That's why recently I've just gone. I started going to the bigger caps, right? And I just like small caps because they're one story, easy to convey to someone, and. Yeah, and I like to see a small cap company go from small to medium in a size. So, if it gets too complex for me, I check out. I got a simple brain, me. Yeah.
Well, I think I've sort of delved into the ins and outs of the deal, but in essence, they've acquired a producing asset for a fraction of what would be the normal market price because the company had defaulted on its debt. So they've gone in there. So the company has provided the debt facility to Toscana and now has some upside, and of course it still has the North Sea assets too, which is Serenity is the main one, and of course the Liberator field. So. Going forward, I think once it comes out of suspension, we should see some real movement on these shares, and of course, a lot of new shareholders as a result of the dual listing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Right. I3E there. What's all the oil price looking like at the moment? What's it?
Do you know that? That's one thing I didn't share this morning. Let me just go and have a look, see if I can find a live oil price.
Let's go here. It's Brent. It's about 40.
$40.
Crude is 37.9. Mm. Okay, down 1.5%. Okay, cool. Marvellous. All right.
That's good recovery. So basically $18 to produce each barrel of oil at these sort of prices, the company's going to start to make money. Anyway, okay, so moving on. I want to talk about advanced oncotherapy. AVO is the epic code. I have spoken sort of on the podcast over the years about AVO.
Many times.
But there is a real sense that they are reaching the end of the road. And when I say the end of the road, I mean the end of the road in terms of getting the light machine over the line.
It's just taken a long time. It's capital intensive. They've burned a lot of money, haven't they?
It's taken forever. I agree completely, Just. And I mean, you know, I'm not currently a shareholder in AVO, but I'm now looking at this company again because I think that I think they're on the cusp of actually getting this away.
You've been saying that for 5 years, though.
I know. They have.
How long is this cusp? Well, it's a very thick cusp. I've never seen a cusp as thick as this in my life.
We're right on the cusp now. It's a big, thick, rusted cusp. That's the one.
Oh, cool. Anyway, go on. So
advanced oncotherapy.
98 million they've lost over there. They've accumulated over 100 million in losses. This last year, yep. 20 million, but they've accumulated about 100 million in losses. That's a lot of investment there. You know,
that's a lot of investment. To get back, yeah. And it's still really pretty money. Right.
But they're still on the cusp, though. They're on that cusp.
They're on that cusp. So focusing on the company, they've developed a revolutionary proton therapy machine to treat cancer. It's already proven. Treatment's already underway. Part of the reason for the delay was that with their London Harley Street clinic, where the first light machine has been sighted and is in production, they had they struck a deal with Circle Health, which collapsed, and of course that hit the share price and also delayed things, because really the Harley Street clinic is going to be the flagship clinic, and I guess prospective purchasers who want to see the machine in action can come and see it in action at Harley Street, and that was part of the idea behind it. So nonetheless, they now signed a new agreement with London Clinic, and that was agreed earlier on this year, and they're making rapid progress on that. Off the back of that, they've also sold an additional machine to Cleveland Clinic, and they announced recently they'd sold another machine, light machine, to the Mediterranean Hospital of Limassol in Cyprus. It's the largest private hospital in Cyprus, and obviously it's going to be it's a prestigious purchase for the country and for the region. Now, each machine sells for 50 million euros. So clearly they've got, as you rightly pointed out, the company are carrying an awful lot of debt. But they have announced this morning they've raised an additional 42 million in funding, partnership funding. And just to provide some context to the potential marketplace that AVO are chasing, there are currently 200 treatment rooms, that's proton therapy treatment rooms, not, I might add, with light machines installed, but 200 treatment rooms worldwide. By estimates on population growth with the world actually needs 10,000 plus treatment rooms to make this effective, so it can really start to make a difference in cancer treatment. So there's a huge market for them to go after. And clearly, once AVO's light machine is established as the benchmark, the benchmark proton therapy machine to treat cancer, I think the company still has tremendous upside on offer. Shares, of course, currently trading at 26p, up slightly this morning on the funding announcement, been as high as 45p, as low as 20p. So not a huge amount of movement, but for so many reasons, this is still a great company to invest in. We said it's pre-money. It's now starting to move into sales, and I think once sales start to pick up and accelerate, we could see a corresponding increase in the share price and the valuation of the company going forward, and possibly even at some point a dividend.
What? You've got to... What? Hang on, Al. Calm down. You're getting way ahead of yourself.
I said possibly.
Yes.
There's always a possibility.
Wait, in 25 years... We're still on the cusp of generating sales, not even generating sales yet to paying a dividend. Are they going to do that with the money they borrowed?
We're on the cusp of a dividend in 25 years.
Because if you look at the sales here, right, there were no sales in 2019, no revenue.
That's right.
Revenue in 2018. The administrative expenses, 20 million.
Yeah.
21 million they lost last year. I would suggest to people, if you like the tech, there's only one prover of tech, and that's demand. You know, if people demand this product, if it is a superior product to everything else, then people will start buying it. People will start, hospitals will start using it and buy it. Let the revenue be the proof. And then almost further than that, let's see if they can generate sufficient margin to generate cash, which is actually real value. Because as yet, the proof is not in the pudding. To my mind. You can do it a good game, and they can always say that, but to me, the proof is not in the pudding yet. They've got to generate sales, and significant sales, and growing sales, because they're big, chunky, capital-intensive units, and... it takes a lot of money. Just people, that kind of, and those kind of decisions to for hospitals to make that take a long time. Then they're working with their big clunky, bureaucratic systems that take a long time to make a decision.
It's a long lead time. It's a long lead time, and I think when the machine was on the drawing board, as it were. I mean, of course, the technology behind it, the company acquired Adam, which was a subsidiary of a company involved in the Large Hadron Collider in CERN in Switzerland. So they're utilizing, the God particle technology, as it were, to make this happen. So the tech, I know, has captured the imagination of an awful lot of people, but as you rightly say, Jess, it's got to be, if you're going to make an investment, it's got to be in the company that's generating money. But I do sense that, as you rightly say, these sales will take a long time. The lead time is probably up to a couple of years. So, but during the time, the machine has been built. The machine that they've demonstrated, the machine that they've shown it in testing, and they have treated patients already with this. So in that regard, the sales team will have already established those relationships and got those potential deals in the pipeline. And, Nicholas Serendur, the CEO, did say that the pipeline had expanded exponentially, and it was fast growing, and they expected to make further progress going forward. Of course, they've also, the agreement with the University Hospital of Birmingham to supply and install a light machine there too. So they're starting to create the NHS too, which is a good thing. So I do sense, despite everything
again, the NHS works at glacial speed.
It does. But the fact is that they actually now have an agreement to install a machine at the University of Birmingham Hospital with the NHS. So that's a big step forward. And clearly, once it's validated by the University Hospital of Birmingham and treatment's underway, it's a revenue share agreement. Then I think that's going to be a way forward for the NHS to open up further centres. And then, of course, other healthcare providers, other healthcare services around the world will take note and look at the model and go from there. So, it's yeah, still a long way to go, but the risk is now being mitigated to a large degree. The testing's been done. The safety parameters have all been met.
I still believe there's a lot of risk in there. There's still a lot of risk because they're not making sales, and they've got a lot of money. They're owing a lot of money, so there's a huge amount of risk still in there.
Well, of course, yeah, of course there is. But when you buy into a company that's developing technology like this, that's the proposition that you either accept or don't. So yeah, but I think if you go in with your eyes open, knowing the company has their debt, but knowing where they are in the evolutionary cycle, the fact that sales are now being made, the fact that the Harley Street Centre is basically there and up and running, that they now have a sales platform, and they now have working machines to demonstrate to prospective clients that how effective the machines are.
I understand that. But I can be standing there in a showroom with full of cars, you know, and not sell anything. I can say, I got a showroom, I've got nice cars, I've made myself, these are my cars I made. They're smaller, they're cheaper, not as fast as the ones, maybe they are a bit fast, depends on what hill you're going to. But I'm there, ready to go, my sales platform's there, but, you know, I've got to sell them. I've got to sell them, and that's it. That's the end of the day. And so, the proof is yet to be proved.
Yeah.
Pudding. The proof, I don't know what you're proving in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding? What is the proof?
The vegetables?
Yeah. I don't know, I understand what that saying means. The proof is in the pudding. I suppose when it's delivered to the table, you eat it, taste it. Yes, good. Then you pay for it. I've no idea. We're going on the pudding route. But we're still on a very long cusp here, and I'm still yet to be convinced.
I wonder where you were going with that there for a second.
I don't know. I think, you know, stand back and watch. Let's see if they generate any sales. Cool. All right.
Pudding's custard. Yep. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Right. What's the next, Al?
Okay, just want to talk finally about Myriad, MIRI, and of course this is the company with the technology, the in program content technology that they have spent a while developing now. This is great because when you watch a TV program nowadays on Netflix or similar channels, if you and I watched a program and there was a can of Coke on the counter, you might see a can of Coke, I might see a can of Pepsi. What Myriad have developed is technology that places advertising content in the program. And of course, the big problem that advertisers face nowadays, particularly as has been demonstrated, I think, over lockdown period, everyone's been watching box sets, and of course, with box sets or with programs that you recall from ITV or BBC or whatever, ITV and of course Sky carrying the ads. When you get to the break, you just fast forward through the ads. So nobody really watches ads anymore. And of course, this presents advertisers with a huge challenge, how to get the message across. And Myriad have created a solution for that. And this is a solution that is generating revenue. They expect to make $2.2 million in revenue this year, but they're still just right at the start of the process. They have a lucrative deal with Tencent Video in China. They have deals with a number of TV stations across Europe, France TV, Condé Nast, and others. They also have an agreement in the UK with Channel 4. And slowly but surely, Myriad's technology is working its way out across the networks. They've already undertaken a number of technology showcases where they've demonstrated the technology. The company is currently trading on a market cap of 44 million, trading at about 20p. Shares have been as low as 5p, as high as 27p on the year. In some interviews recently, Stefan Berenger, the CEO, said that they'd seen more activity in April than all of last year. So highly significant, yeah, especially given that we're in the middle of this lockdown too. The company is well funded through to 2021, and they do expect to announce a number of deals going forward toward the end of the year. So I think the from a from a technology standpoint, it's very exciting. But also, I think given that we do all wind through the ads if we've recorded content, it's a perfect way to place products into TV programs, get the brand message across without interrupting the flow of the film or the documentary or whatever it is that you're watching.
Yeah, I like the concept, but I don't know if it plays out. Again, listen, this is going to be lost 12 million last year. You know, so they need cash because they're a big loss maker. And the revenue went up from, 415,000, which is small, let's be honest, in December 2018. And to be fair, it increased to 1.1 million. Mm-hmm. So it's a decent uptick in the revenue, but still valued at 40-odd million. And they're losing 12 million. So it's like, the thing is, I don't understand, right, is when you have, say, something going on Netflix, and it's got a production timeline, deadline, all that stuff, then this film would have to, if they agree all the commercial sides of it and all that stuff, this dynamic advertising, it'd have to go over to the Myriad or whatever. They have to go, inspect the items, insert these items. They have to sort of map it out, all the places they can place these ads, and then it's released. And if it's a problem, then that's a real issue. You can't just update the film like software, like gaming, for example. They do updates all the time.
We can. That's the whole point with the streaming technology. Just, I mean, that's why it is so good because as I said, you and I could be watching the same Netflix program or whatever, and you would see there'd be a can of drink on the counter. You might see a can of Coke. I might see a can of Pepsi or Fanta or whatever, and they're able to. So according to the profile of the viewer, the technology places the product according to that viewers likes.
I understand the
profile they have. So it's a dynamic process. It actually happens dynamically. And
with games, it's all code, right? So there's the codes in the code. With film, it's a bit different, isn't it? I don't understand how it works technically. Because can they have that lead time?
If you think about
lead
it.
Time, I mean, do they have enough lead time to get their tech all passed and approved? So firstly, a commercial deal has to be done.
Yeah.
And then in certain areas, for certain countries, it maybe wouldn't have to advertise, say, certain things like alcohol or whatever, or whatever. Certain products wouldn't be there. Obviously, based off cookies, maybe. I don't understand. I don't understand technically how that works. I don't understand how it can be updated. If a film gets released, then I don't understand, really.
Just if you think about it, the streaming technology that streams films out, it turns that film into code, doesn't it? That's what happens. So when you watch it through your Sky Q box, I mean, we go down to the apps, go onto Netflix. I mean, we're watching Narcos Mexico at the moment, which is a great film, a great series. But all these box sets,
all those back to back, pretty much Narcos.
Unbelievable! Yeah. It's so good, so good. So it turns the film into streaming technology. So just like a streaming ad or a video clip that you'd film and put online,
films and ads, they don't get regularly updated, do they? As in the surrounding code and all that stuff. Whereas games always are updated. Is that the same? I don't know if it's the same thing. I mean, I don't understand how.
Well, I think I've spoken to Stefan, and I mean that there are a lot of similarities with the BidStack technology and the way it places it into the game. Because, of course, you're talking live gaming, live coding; it's ongoing. But
in gaming, BidStack have had a real problem with that. They've had major delays. Like I said, that's why price when they first IPO'd, very exciting tech. Of course, everyone got excited. I got very excited by it. They had a target of over 6 million for the first year, or around about 6 million for the first year in revenue, which is amazing for a small cap company. And that was expected to grow, almost double the year after, and double the year after that. But like I said, they've focused now, they've had more issues technically than they thought. So they missed the first year target. Second year target is now, I think it's like 1.5 million, which is a quarter of what the first year should have been. So that's why, people accuse me of saying, you were really bullish on that and you really bigged it up and then you went quiet because they missed the target. Yeah. Whenever a company, the story changes on a company, you've got to change your mind. You've got to change your mind. You're dumb and you will not evolve as an animal if you don't change your mind on changing circumstances. That's why humans survive and evolved. And so people got really annoyed at me. It was saying, you change your mind on the stock? Yes, because the story. I did a video series called 10 Lessons I've Learned from Investing in Small Caps. One of the reasons why, is the three reasons why why you should sell a stock. One is you can employ your capital better elsewhere. Second, valuation, I think, but third was the story changes. And with bids, in my mind, that story did change. Now, it may get back into sync, and this may start ramping up again, but they've had problems with tech, and that's why I'm worried about Maria. I think there's more issues in TV broadcasting than there is in gaming, because it's like gaming's watched over and over again, because you see, multiple others. Like TV, you watch a series once, and what's the point of updating it if it's wrong? I don't know. If the tech isn't working in that thing, I think it's a different kind of thing.
You make a very good point, actually, and that is it. And you know, the technology with BidStack sounded great at the start, and I bought back in low down, actually. So I still do think they've got a great future long term once they get the tech sorted. But
I think it's a cracking idea. Yeah, BidStack's a cracking idea. It's one of those things. It's an amazing idea, but as yet technically they're having obviously issues and delays because they're cutting edge pretty much, and they are a trailblazer. BidStack, they will have issues, and that's expected. And that's the thing with Myriad. I think Myriad would be worse because there's more politics and TV broadcasting, more regulatory issues in TV broadcasting than there is in gaming. And so I think there are a little bit more issues there, so.
Well, I think Myriad actually have approached it rather differently, because I think the mistake BidStack made, James Draper made, I think he was way too bullish on numbers at the outset. Myriad have been the polar opposite in that regard. They've been very cautious in terms of their revenue projections, and what they've done so far is everything they've said they'll do, they've done, and they've hit the revenue targets. They're projecting 2.2 million for this year. They'll hit that target. They projected 1.1 million for last year, hit that target. So it's cautious.
Have they projected any to make a profit yet?
No.
That's my big milestone on small cap revenue. I want them to see a line in the sand where they say, right, we're going to start generating real value, and by that I mean generating cash. And so if they haven't said that, then...
Well, I think I think again we were joking about costs earlier, just but I think it gets to a point where the technology looks great, everyone buys into it, and then there's a delay and then it falls down, then the fix is done, then the sales start to occur, and then the exponential growth has the potential to really start. And I think I think Myriad are very close to that point now. I hope BidStack are too. But also going back to AVO just now, I think that's where they're at now, in spite of the 7 years we've been talking about, or 5 years, and the huge cash burn. Again, these are technology companies that I do believe are on the cusp now of turning and delivering exponential growth. And I mean, the thing is with Myriad, they are talking with all of the major TV stations and channel producers. That they've have agreements already with Channel 4 and Condé Nast, and obviously the big deal with Tencent in China. So the company is really keen to trial this out, because they face a big problem from their advertisers saying, well, we just ain't getting value for money anymore because everyone hits the skip ad button. And I really get that. So Myriad technically have got a solution to overcome this. And clearly the take up far.
I like it. I just, at the moment, they're quite highly valued. They're 44 million. They lost 12 million last year. I like the revenue, almost tripled, but it's from a low base. It's still 1.1 million. They're still close to 40 times revenue, which is highly valued, because they're losing 12 million. So I'll keep my eye on it. It's on my watch list. Of course, I receive their RNSs, but until they got a pathway to profitability somewhere, I'm not going to jump on or jump in. And because to me, a company can go on, I said on the weekend, talking about Gfinity, they've now got a new CEO in there. He's said break even end of this year. Profitability Q1, and he's changed the business a lot to focus on high margin stuff, and he's cut away all that stuff that doesn't make any money, and it makes sense, and he's put a line in the sand there, and I like that. And it's esports is very cutting edge, it's growing very quickly within gaming. I like that, but I like this company. But until they say, right, finally, we're going to stop losing money, because when a company that has no end of sight or line of sight to creating money, all they do is losing money. So they have to raise money somehow. That dilutes existing shareholders further and further. And that's why you can see a chart trending down generally on loss-making stocks. What you need is to stop that bleed, that cash bleed, and then turn around. So I'm watching. I'm just waiting for the time to say, okay, We've now invested fully in the tech, so the major capital invest is going to come down. Meanwhile, revenue is going to go up, and we're expecting a break even end of this year. That's what I'm looking for.
Yep.
So I'm not convinced on the, I'm convinced on the idea. I don't know how it works technically. You know, I don't need to though. All I need to look at is the figures. The figures are working out, and that's all I need to know. You know.
Yep. Fair comment. Fair comment, Jess. Yeah.
Okay. So what is that? I mean, the charts is a massive spike up on that deal with Tencent a while back, didn't it? But it's gone back up there, and like I said, for a pundit stock, 5 pence was the stock to buy. It's look at that. It's five bagged in. Since Dash for Cash in March, crash.
Yeah, well, as you know, we've done some work with Myriad, and but I did actually buy in at 7p. So I am a holder here.
Look at Alan Greenbeans there. No, I like tech.
That's right. It'll
be a volatile stock until they get that. I think until they say we're going to line of sight to break even. You know, and there'll be dips and be opportunities there for people.
There will. Yeah, indeed. Okay. Yes.
What's do the board don't hold much stock though, do they? I don't think they do they?
Well, they do. Yes. The company's also announced a bunch of share options for all of the directors at 15p. So that's obviously set a bit of a floor on the share price too. I think the thing was it was hit by the COVID crisis. They didn't know where they were going. So of course there was some uncertainty there. But after the updates from the board. The share price has recovered rapidly, and it is tech. It's early stage, but I think the people they've already got agreements with and they're doing deals with. You know, this it sounds really promising at this juncture.
Marvelous, yeah. It's on the watch list as I like tech companies and like this, but like I said, they got a little bit of go. It's still on the middle of the cusp there, we're not towards the end of the cusp. I think we've not seen the end of the cusp yet. We're still
watching the end of the cusp, Joss, indeed. Yep.
Marvellous. Cheers for Al, and we'll speak you next week.
Thanks, Joss. Speak you next week, mate.
Okay, it's time for the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, Amigo Holdings. That's up 0.8%, which is below 1%, 6.3 pence. At 4, Aston Martin Longonda, of course, Global Holdings, called Aston Martin, 7.3% at 54 pence. At 3, Omega Diagnostics, that's down 3.4% to 47.5. At 2, Tizian Life Sciences, at 8.5% to 108.5. Tilda's is the ticker there. And most followed company is Gfinity. I did cover them on the weekend in a video. I bought some of those. I think John Clark, the new CEO, is doing an excellent job of turning it around. He's cutting low-margin business, and he's heading towards break-even profitability in the fast-growing world of esports. Okay, top 5 most liked RNSs are as follows. At 5, Upland Resources, Tunisian Update and Formation of Technical Panel. At 4, Emerson, appointment of CEO, Potash Operations Experience. At 3, Arc Minerals, drilling commences. At 2, agreement with STC Biologics. And at 1, it's Omega Diagnostics, update on progress of UK Rapid Test Consortium. But even with that, it's down just under 4% there. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.